Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's part three of the It's My Biz campaign on Radio Islam International, where we're looking at artisans, their value, their importance, and their contribution to society. In today's episode, we're looking at artisans from an Islamic perspective. When we look at the history of Islam, do we find any artisans? We spoke to Mufti Yusuf Musaji, and he explained that even before the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you would find that many of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were artisans, like Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ma akala ahadun ta'aman qattu khayran min an ya'kula min amali yadihi." No one has ever eaten any sustenance which is better than that which he earned through the workings of his hand. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Wa inna nabiyallahi Dawood kana ya'kulu min amali yadihi." Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam used to eat of that which he is to earn with his hands.
Also Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam.
So we should never think of doing work with our hands, being an artisan, as anything menial. It is indeed a great profession. It is also said with regards to Sayyidina Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam, kana najjar, that he was a carpenter, that he did carpentry work.
Mufti Saab then went on to explain that even in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there are incidents that indicate towards the Sahaba being artisans.
On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met a particular Sahabi and his hands was very coarse, was very hard. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What is it? Why is your hand so hard?" And there's something to the effect that he said, "That is because of the manual labor that I do to feed my children." And with that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed his hands, acknowledging his efforts. And subhanAllah, paying tribute to all artisans.
One of the main objectives of this campaign is to make us understand that if our children have skills and abilities and they want to become artisans, we should not stop them. We discussed this in a previous episode, that we should not force them into an office job, but rather we should pay careful attention to their skills and encourage them towards a related field. And we'd find here that if Sahaba radiallahu anhum used their hands and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam used their hands to earn their bread, then of course there is nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's honorable. Not only during that period, but even after that, Islam had a close link with artisans. Medieval Islamic artisans seem to have developed a procedure for creating jigsaw-like mosaics that ultimately led them to an exotic pattern that mathematicians would only discover nearly half a millennium later. Yes, researchers report that 15th century buildings in Iran feature tiles arranged in a so-called quasi-crystal, which is symmetric but does not repeat itself regularly. According to a physics graduate student, Peter J. Liu of Harvard University, he says, "Here there is evidence that this system and this pattern was being used 500 years before we had any idea what was going on with it in the West." Liu began poring over photos from Iran, Iraq, Turkey and Afghanistan after seeing hints of the pattern while traveling in Uzbekistan. And scholars believe that workers, the Muslim workers at this time, they drew many of these patterns with a compass and a straight edge. Liu found that the shapes of the tiles actually appear on a 15th century Islamic scroll documenting architectural practices. And he notes that the tiles seem to have come into use as early as the 12th century to make regularly repeating patterns. But by the 15th century, artisans, perhaps driven to increasingly complex artistic feats, seem to have reached a new level of sophistication. So once again, even the time after Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we find that many Muslims were artisans. Let's go through some basic masail regarding artisans. We spoke to Mufti Yusuf Musaji and we put a few questions to him. We asked him that what if a plumber fixes a burst pipe, but then the customer refuses to pay?
That amount that was agreed upon becomes obligatory on the person who asks for the services of the plumber. The plumber now has full right to explore all avenues to get his money. He can go to arbitration, or you can go to the traditional court to demand his money. But whatever fees that he incurs in this, he cannot demand that. He only has the right to the amount that is owed to him.
We then flipped the coin and we asked him then, what if the artisan is at fault? What if a painter is instructed to paint a wall white, but instead he paints it cream? What recourse does the customer have then?
If the painter admits that he did commit this mistake, then he's liable to fix it at his cost. So the customer can force the painter to fix up the wall, and the cost will be on the painter because there was negligence on his behalf.
Then also a very common question, what comes first, the service or the pay? Should you do the work first or should you get paid first? According to Mufti Saab, it doesn't really matter.
In regards to this, there's nothing hard and fast. It is on mutual agreement. If it is that the artisan wants his money up front and then he will render the services, that is also fine. And if it is that the artisan will be paid, the customer says that I'll pay you on completion, that is also fine.
But Mufti Yusuf went on to emphasize the importance of a contract in Islam.
What is important when doing any sort of agreement or whenever employing any person, when using the services of anyone, is to draw up some sort of a contract, to have it written down. The longest verse of the Noble Quran, in which Allah Rabbul Izzah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubuh, that when you engage in your monetary actions, activities, then write it down.
In conclusion, respected listeners, we find that from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when a servant earns his bread with his own money. In other hadith, we find as well that begging and stretching your hand out is disliked. So yes, being an artisan, working, using your hands, earning your bread, definitely this is an honorable profession in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're thinking of becoming artisans, our children are thinking of becoming artisans, let us encourage it. That brings us to the end of today's episode, part 3 of the It's My Biz campaign here on Radio Islam International. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.